Let's go back over some of that and make sure it's as clear as it can be. I put these definitions up here so that you can use them and remind yourself of what we're doing. X is a part of Y, if and only if. X plays a role in the internal organization of Y. X cannot come into existence apart from Y, and that's where Aristotle left it. The example he gives is of touring a battlefield after the battle is over, and somebody says, "What's that over there?" And the answer is pretty grisly. The answer is, "Oh, that's somebody's thumb. That's the thumb of a man that got cut off in the battle." The thumb is a part of the human body. It plays a role in its internal organization, and it cannot come into existence or function apart from the body. Now, we are going to argue that this is insufficient. This is correct as far as it goes, but it needs more. The relation of another example of this relation is that of a cell to a plant, of which it is a part. The cell can't come into existence or function apart from the plant, and it plays a role in its internal organization. We're contrasting that part-whole relation to the relation called, Dewey Word calls, encapsis, or a capsulate relation. This is a whole that is encapsulated in a greater whole, if and only if. It plays a role in the internal organization of the greater whole, but it can exist apart from the greater whole, and it has a different leading function. And that's the thing that we need to add up here. Otherwise, it looks as though humans are parts of the state or other organizations. They play a role in their internal organization. Humans don't come into existence apart from the relationships of other people, their parents in particular. But then why are they not just parts? Because of its difference in its leading function. X has the same leading function as Y. So the cell, the leading function of a cell is biotic. The leading function of a plant is biotic. So that is a part-whole relation. Down here, a smaller whole is included, encapsulated in a larger one, provided it plays a role in its internal organization, but it can exist apart from the larger whole, and it has a different leading function. And it's this one that secures the point that human beings are never just parts of a whole, of a greater whole. They are always sub-wholes, members of the state, members of a family, members of a church, employees or customers of a business, members of a school, either as students or faculty. It goes on and on, but humans are not just parts of anything. And so they're not to be treated that way, or laws made that treat them that way. We're building this, you see, piece by piece, so we can come up with a Christian view of the state, the political institution and society. And I made the point in passing, and I'll just mention it again just for clarification, that not all capsulate relations create greater wholes. There are relationships, and I gave the example of a bee to a certain flower. There's a certain kind of bee that can only feed on the nectar of a particular flower, and that bee is necessary to pollinate the flower, and the flower is necessary to provide food for the bee. That they do not thereby form a greater whole, but that's an encapsulate relation. It's not a part-whole relation either. Neither can continue to exist or come into exist without the other. Neither plays a role in the internal organization of the other. And they do not have the same leading function. So that's going to be an encapsulate relationship. So there are encapsulate wholes with sub-wholes as parts. There are encapsulate relationships that are greater. Take another example of another artifact, a garden. Are the things that are included in the garden parts of the garden? Sometimes we talk that way, unguardedly. Well, there's this bush and this line of plants here, that rock formation over there, and this little statue behind, and so on, the little waterfall we made over here. These are all parts of the garden. No, on this view, they would be encapsulated holes, and the garden would be a capsulate hole. It would be a greater hole, including a number of lesser holes. Why? Well, any number of those things, whatever is part of the garden, could exist without being part of the garden. And that some of the things that make up the garden are not even alive, like the little statue and the rock formation I put over here. So they don't have the same leading function. So this is how we come up with a view that a garden is a capsulate hole, a greater hole, including many encapsulated holes within it. As I said, the importance of this is that it applies to the ways in which humans are members of social institutions. And it avoids the trap of falling into collectivism or individualism. Typically, collectivism has wanted to secure a life of, wants to give its citizens a life of security. It makes security paramount and the existence of a whole paramount. Individualism has stressed freedom rather than security. We want the individuals to have as much freedom as they can, so we contract together to make the state, and it's whatever we want it to be. And so if we just want a security company, then that's what we get, and we have nothing, the state then on that view has nothing to do with the common good and the greater good of all its citizens. Those are failings of each, I think, because each of those views leads the people who hold them to focus narrowly on one thing or another. That's why Marx ends up saying justice is whatever preserves the state, and the individualist is going to say whatever preserves the individual, that's what the state's for. If it can't do it, get rid of it and get another one. Neither of those is the Christian view, according to this theory and the hints that we have from Scripture. The hints we have from Scripture don't form a theory, but they may be formed into a theory. And we're going to come upon that in our next session, where we're going to take what hints we have in Scripture and not claim that Scripture teaches the theory, but we're going to build a theory on them, a theory of society, what society is like, how it's to be organized, and so on. And then that's going to lead us to a specific view of the political institution, which is the state. Now, I'm going to leave you to think all that over. That's our review. And next time, we'll take the next step toward that theory.